Welcome to this episode of the Senior Care Growth Show, where senior care sales and marketing professionals come to grow. My name is Winston, and I'm super excited today to be joined by Brandon Christensen. This episode of the Senior Care Growth Show is brought to you by SMASH, the Senior Care Marketing and Sales Summit, bringing together chief strategists from across the senior housing and post-acute continuum. There's nothing like it in senior care anywhere. For a limited time, Senior Care Growth listeners can save $400 on their SMASH registration. Visit www.seniorcaremarketingsummit.com and use code SCG400. That's SCG400. Brandon is the Regional Sales and Marketing Manager for Primrose Retirement Communities. Brandon, welcome to the Senior Care Growth Show.
Thanks for having me, Winston. My name is Brandon Christensen and Regional Sales and Marketing Manager. So I worked with Primrose Retirement for the past about four years. Most of my communities I work with are in Minnesota and Wisconsin. I've worked with communities in Illinois and in the great state of Alaska as well. So been kind of all over the place and been looking at this fun sales process of senior living and just excited to have a conversation about how maybe some data can go into these processes and how we can really embrace and love numbers.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I was so excited when I connected with you because it sounds like data is a real passion of yours. And tell me why you think, you know, data in the sales and marketing roles is so important.
Absolutely. I think data is so important because at times it seems like sales is this immeasurable process. There's the art of sales and it's hard to duplicate that. And that's where data really comes in to help measure what that is. I don't know if you're familiar with Peter Drucker, who is a American management consultant, said, what gets measured gets managed. And so using that, I've always thought we should be able to identify how we can better understand our process, or better understand what we do every single day. And being able to, there is indeed a certain art to sales, but the science of sales and that data can help us find those repeatable key success points along the path for whether it's our own path or whether it's our prospects' path. So we use data a lot in measuring how our sales process works and how our different sales directors work through their process. On the marketing side, we all know, marketing budgets aren't getting any bigger. And there seems to be more and more opportunity to get our name out there, whether it's through different online avenues, using the traditional print and radio and TV, newsletter opera. I mean, there just seems to be more and more opportunity. But using data takes away some of that guesswork of how are we going to get in front of our key demographic? How are we going to spend the money in the right spot? But also then using data in a little bit different format to better understand what that message needs to look like in each of these different platforms. So I think data strips away a lot of the guesswork that we do on a day-to-day basis and really allows us to make the best decisions to evaluate our time and our resources that we have available to us.
Yeah, I love that. That's great. So obviously, you know, building a system that's data-driven, lot of benefits, refining messaging and the targeting of your demographics on the marketing side and making sure that you're spending money in the right places, and also effectiveness of the sales side. So with so many, data could be anything. We've got infinite metrics available. What do you focus on as KPIs or key performance indicators, and what metrics do you really pay attention to?
That's a great question, Wesley. Well, the first thing we did when we started really looking and saying we want to evaluate what data can do for us and how to better understand what data is going to do is the first thing we had to do was really take a lot of time and get to know and love what our actual sales process was. Write it out, put it on a big whiteboard, whatever it takes to figure out these are all the different aspects of our sales process. And once we did that and you move from whether it's pre-inquiry or inquiry, all the way to whatever your final success point is, whether it's a deposit, whether it's a move-in, whether it's 30 days after a move-in and a certain satisfactory score, whatever that looks like, you start seeing these little areas in the change of that sales funnel. You start seeing, when do they come from an inquiry to a prospect and from a prospect to a tour and some of those, and you start seeing those fundamental changes. And when you see those, then you can start identifying, what we found was we could start identifying what changes, how do we determine when somebody goes into that? And then from there, that's where you develop your KPIs. I mean, there are certain ones in this industry that we always kind of go back to because there's pretty general pieces like inquiry to tour, tour to deposit, or tour to move in, or even inquiry to move in that we see constantly. And taking those are great starter points. But with those KPIs, it's also taking that and diving deeper into that. What does your inquiry to tour really reflect when you break the numbers down? How can you splice and dice that, so to speak, and get a better understanding to say, you know, because nobody wants to hear my inquiry to tour is 4% low. That's not really meaningful. So to be able to really take those KPIs and say, this is my starting point is the KPI, but I've got to get a deeper understanding with each and every layer I can peel off of that thing.
Yeah, gotcha. So I guess it sounds like moving beyond just kind of inquiry to move in or inquiry to tour, some of those basic KPIs, really looking at your sales process and defining out maybe the different stages of that sales process. And then to your point, you've got measurement from each stage to the next. And then it sounds like figuring out a baseline of what those measures look like.
Absolutely. And finding the baselines is extremely important because the number is only, I mean, if I told you the number 12, it's only the number 12. It's until you get context behind that number that it's good, bad, or indifferent. And so once you've identified through your sales process what your KPIs are, you've got to do some research. You got to do some digging to figure out, are there an industry related stat to this? What does that look like? How can I measure up against that? And if you get into some really crazy ones where you're really diving in deep, you know, maybe you have to look at your own company's history, your own company's performance to say, how do I stack up against everybody else in my company? Or how do I stack up with how I was doing this 6 months ago or a year ago or even yesterday, to really hold yourself to a measuring stick? Because again, you know, that number can be reflective of part of your process, but unless you know if that's a good or a bad number, it doesn't really do much for you. And then on that, to kind of dovetail away from that, one of the things that we really look at with that is we don't want data and KPIs to pigeonhole our sales directors. You know, it's not, the intent is not to make a bunch of robots that do everything the same exact way. It's to understand that we're all people and we're all going to do this a little bit different, and that's okay. There's a lot of ways to succeed in sales. And so it's not necessarily holding yourself necessarily against the industry average, but understanding that that is a benchmark. But if I do this in accordance to that KPI and I hold that steady, I can still find improvement without having to change that KPI.
Yeah, I love that. So I think the value of having those benchmarks in the context of the numbers is so, so important. One question for you, and as you were talking about kind of the different stages of the sales process, how many is too many stages, or like what's a good number of kind of different phases in that sales cycle? I'd imagine if you got too detailed, you could get lost in the data.
Absolutely. Yeah. You don't want to become overwhelmed and having to deal with just numbers all the time. And so like for ours, I think we only have maybe 5 total spots in the sales process or in the sales funnel that we're really evaluating a key change on. Because we can go into each of those 5. I can give you an anecdote of a community I was working with. We were looking and we saw that our inquiry to tour wasn't where we wanted it to be. And so we decided, okay, we got to figure out what's behind this. And we started peeling away some of those layers. And we said, okay, so first thing, who are the people who are actually touring? Let's identify our success points. And we found out a certain demographic of ours was touring very, very well at our building. They're always coming in for tours. It was an easy close. We found out this other key demographic just wasn't. And so we started asking questions. Well, why wouldn't that be? It's that inquisitive mindset that you have to have in order to make this work, to say, what was causing this? What was causing this? Well, we found out after we went back and back and back, we found out we were using maybe a template to an email response that maybe we just shouldn't be using anymore. We changed it up. And lo and behold, in a matter of a couple of weeks, we started seeing that number start to grow again. And so that KPI ignited the idea to say, we got to look at something. But it's diving back into it to say, you know, there's all these other little impacts to it. I mean, we could have gotten so deep in the data that said, you know, what was our online conversion rate? Not important for a KPI point of view, yeah. But to know to go back into it is.
Well, I love that you had a system in place and you had the metrics and you noticed that one was not performing as well as the other. And I think the other thing that's cool, that's interesting that you guys did was just took an objective look at, well, what does the process look like for that demographic that's maybe not performing as well? And where are we kind of falling short? And that's when you've got other metrics like open rates to emails or, you know, things like that, that you can rely on. But the indicators were there. I think you have the system and the key indicators were there, those key performance indicators.
Absolutely. Yeah. Without that system in play to say, this is what we're measuring, this is what we're going to look at every single week or every month, we're going to measure how this thing interacts with the rest of our sales process. Without that piece in play, you don't always see that very minute detail that maybe would have gone under, you know, overlooked for a long period of time and could have eventually caused us some heartache over it. You know, it's great to see that warning sign early before it becomes a major problem for you.
Yeah. That's a great example. And I love your point, too, about looking at some industry related data. And you know, that brings to mind, we did a study towards the end of last year around the state of senior care sales and marketing. You could download it on the website. But I actually had a question from somebody just last week asking about conversion rate and, you know, what does conversion rate mean? Which one did we measure? And you know, the measure in that study was pretty simplistic. It was just tours to move in. But mm-hmm. I think that to your point, you know, you really need lots of different conversion rates from each stage of the funnel. And I think that's an important point as people get hung up on like the conversion rate. But really, there's several of them between those different stages. Would you say that's true?
Absolutely, I would. And I'd also expand and say, you know, depending on, you know, if we look at a conversion rate like tour to deposit, it also depends on, you know, what kind of a time frame you're going to put behind that piece. You know, if you're going to give yourself a 30-day window, you're going to measure that for a very specific reason. And that's, you know, maybe you're trying to identify of the, you know, kind of what we would call more the low-hanging fruit. How are we doing with that market share versus, you know, if we look at a 90-day window or a 120-day window. And so that same KPI of tour to deposit, which can seem kind of mundane, can give you a lot of great information if you just start adjusting the time frames because you know your sales process and what it is that you may be looking for to find the answer to and say, aha, this is what I need to worry about is my follow-up after my 30-day window maybe is lagging off. I need to correct for that. And a KPI like a tour to deposit can really enlighten you on something like that.
Yeah, that's a great example. So what other kind of metrics do you focus on when you're looking at you know, that looking at the data and looking for opportunities, what are some of the red flags that that you would look for in your data and in the systems that would show that there's maybe something that needs to be fixed?
Sure. Well, what we typically look at, you know, you have the big three, the inquiry to tour, the tour to deposit, and the inquiry to move in. We have those that we look at, but then we also look at success rates on follow-up phone calls. How many calls are needed in order to schedule a tour? How many calls are needed in order to reach a prospect? We want to track that because that can help us get an idea of maybe some best times to call, maybe making things a little bit more efficient. We're also going to make sure we have a good look at on our database of what's our percentage of referred versus non-referred leads to measure what that outreach kind of looks like for us. We look at online inquiry versus, you know, into response, you know, that kind of that MQL to SQL, if you were, type of a conversion rate. We keep finding new and new more ways that we can go onto that marketing side and find better numbers that we can run into as well. And so that's our next horizon for us is to really dive into a lot of those. Other things that we look at on the sales side is we do a lot of different time parameter pieces, depending on what we want to measure for, whether it's, whether we're getting those tours right away, whether we're not, we'll also measure in some cases the distance between different follow-up touch points, days to tour, time, you know, days to follow up, things like that, which lends itself eventually into the speed to lead piece that is always the tricky one to kind of master, I think, across the industry is that's the the golden bullet or a silver bullet approach, as it were, to get that thing hammered down. But the numbers can help you get to that type of a point and understand what other things we should be looking at or could be looking at. Of course, we also look at, you know, some of the other traditional, like return on investment for our marketing, cost per lead, some of those types of things that are vital information to have on the marketing side as well.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's awesome. I love the time parameters. I think that that's some stuff that maybe some people miss is number of days, you know, from one touch point to the next and one follow up to the next. And then just once you have that in place, I'd imagine you just run experiments and try and figure out what tactics you can deploy that might improve those results. Or how do you do that? Is it like a scientific method type thing? Is we're going to do something, we think this will happen, and then you see what does? Or
absolutely. Yeah. The old A-B testing is key for us around here. We love to look at it and say, okay, if everything else remained the same and I just tweaked this one little thing, what would happen? Here's what I expect to happen, and we're going to deploy that. We're going to work with that for a little bit. You got to give it some time. You know, I mean, it's not an instant fix. So you got to always give that change a little bit of time to kind of work its way through to see what that exactly is going to do for you in the long term. And if it doesn't work, I mean, you just go back to the old drawing board and look at your sales process and say, what other thing might I have missed in this thing? You know, whether it would be, I got to change the voicemail that I'm leaving, you know, I got to do a little bit different of a voicemail. Maybe I got to change my call to action on that voicemail a little bit to get a better response on my call inside of that. And, you know, there's a lot of fun little rabbit holes you can always chase down it with that. But if you always circle back again to that sales process, it seems to always work out at least, more often than not works out for the better.
Yeah, definitely. You know, talked about a lot of, you just mentioned kind of that you could have like lots of different data points that you're measuring and documenting that sales process. What kind of tools do you recommend for capturing the data, keeping an eye on it? What systems do you use to do that? Is it the stuff that you've set up in-house or using other tools, or how are you managing kind of analysis?
Sure. You know, we look at our CRM first and foremost. If you have a CRM, you know, find out how you can use those parameters of the CRM. You know, what are the data points that can give you that you can manipulate? Huge fan of Excel. Love Excel. Do a lot of building of stuff, Excel in-house to measure into kind of splice and dice a little bit on our end, some of those key pieces that we know we need to look at consistently. One of the big things that I'm always a proponent in is the best tool that you can bring to measure data is your own curiosity. You know, don't be afraid of saying, okay, I'm going to spend 3 hours on this project and I'm going to dive in and I'm going to get to the end of it. And for a lot of people, that might seem like a big kind of waste of your time and energy to do that. But I can tell you, you know, from some past experiences of mine, guessing wrong at the answer to try to improve something is going to take you more time and energy than that 3 hour time you could spend looking at an Excel spreadsheet or even a hard copy of numbers to try to find that pattern, try to find that success point and that continuation piece that you can run with it.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's so true. I think that it is such, you have to have that inquisitive and curious mindset when it comes to this stuff. If you're somebody that gets bored with numbers and you just don't care and you don't want to deal with the analytics and you think you have, you know, like a finger in the wind feel of how stuff is going, yeah, you're going to be up a creek pretty quick because there's infinite data available. And if you can make, you know, the right decisions based on the data, then, you know, you can feel that much more confident in them.
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, I know not everybody always loves numbers or loves to have a conversation about numbers, which circles us back a little bit. You know, on the regional side, my job is to coach sales directors about this. You know, and if you're kind of in that type of a world, it's then about taking these numbers and saying, okay, what's the real world application? Because if I say I got to go from 12 to 14, that's kind of meaningless to a lot of people. So looking at those KPIs and then saying, how can I dissect this and then say it in real people words, not just Excel words, what I need to have happen out of this is a crucial last step in any of the data or any of the KPI management is how can you take that and say in a very short one sentence type of answer, if we target this type of person, this is what it's going to mean for us.
Right.
You know, and to be able to circle it all the way back to that, it's vitally important.
Yeah, that's such a good point too. It's not just the data, but it's the explanation of the data to people that are that may influence it in some way. That's something that I've kind of learned from the agency side. You know, we talk about website metrics all the time. And if you say, hey, this page has gotten a ton of organic traffic and the bounce rate is 85, though, and people are like, I don't know, what, who cares? And so, but if you could say, yeah, the page is being found in search results, but people aren't staying on the website, they're actually bouncing off, which is the bounce rate. And here's why we need to correct that. I think that that's the important part, too, is not just here's the data, it's down, or here's the data, it's up. But yeah, what does that mean in terms of business results?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we do it a lot with our time with our sales directors from our point of view. And, you know, we get a number that says our call conversion rate's down 6%. Okay. What is that? If I tell that to a sales director, it's kind of meaningless. But if I can say, you know, based off of our call times, you know, that we're running into, I can see that we're leaving a lot more voicemails. What's been changing? Why have we now established this as a call time frame? We move it an hour or two one way or the other. Maybe we have to do a little A/B testing to find that right time frame. It might take us some time, but hey, we're going to give an actionable next step, and we're going to be able to find some way to improve this.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to handle that feedback too for one of your sales directors. It's not just, you know, that you're not doing things right. It's not like, you know, it's not like, hey, the data is not good, we're not performing well, you need to do better. But it's just, hey, here's something that we noticed. We think we can improve it if we sort of move things a little bit. Let's all get behind that and see what we can do. It's a great way to handle that. That's a really good way to give the feedback.
Yeah. And it keeps the focus on the results too, when you give feedback that way, rather than the ever fun conversation. I know we've all been told in a sales environment at some point, you need to make more follow-up phone calls. I think we've all been told that at some point in our lives. It's kind of irrelevant. It's kind of meaningless. Like, okay, I'll sit here, I'll make 25 phone calls that aren't going to go anywhere just to show you I made more follow-up phone calls, right? But if we can say, hey, you know, your follow-up phone calls are leading to a great amount of tours, and this is how, you know, and you can kind of show them how that piece is, how all of those data points connect, it makes it so much easier to understand what you're actually trying to accomplish with each and every dial of that phone call.
Yeah, well, Brandon, that's a great point. I didn't think we'd get on to kind of like the management side of this, but I think that's like such a perfect example of how to give someone feedback that kind of encourages them to do something the right way versus, you know, my boss is bearing down on me, he wants me to call even more people. But the way that you delivered that, I thought was great, is, you know, we've seen that the people that you call end up showing up for tours at a pretty high rate. You're doing a great job. We want you to do more of that. You know, that's just such a different message. And I think that, again, keeping it focused on the data and the results is such a good kind of leverage point for any manager, anyone in the organization, really, to keep people focused on the goal, which is to increase revenue for your organization.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's great. So we've talked a lot about some big ideas and, you know, a lot of different things people can measure. What's your advice for folks who are maybe a little bit behind in kind of the data game, and they don't really have something set up? Maybe they have a CRM and they're not sure how to leverage it to get the data that they need, or how to measure the sales process. Or maybe they're just feeling a little overwhelmed by the data and they need help. What would you say, like, where could they find some resources? What should they do? Do you have any experience with that? Any kind of training you could point them to, or where should they get started?
Well, for us, when we first started this, you know, the first thing is to find a champion of the process, a person who's going to want to really dive into the numbers and dive into what is accessible for your community or for your company or for yourself. If I'm using a CRM, can I export that information into an Excel spreadsheet? Do I have to use the parameters of the CRM? And then take that step back and say, okay, this is how we can get the information. Now I got to go chart my sales process. Start something small, even if it's just a 2-point sales process where I've got an inquiry and I got to get them to a deposit. Start at that point and start working your way back a little bit. It's a very daunting process. Absolutely. I don't want to take anything away from that. Numbers can be a lot of information. But if you start very broad and very small in that type of a scope, you can start taking it little chunk by little chunk. Find the measurements that work for you one by one. It took us for when we started looking at the data, honestly, it took us a good year and a half to 2 years to get to a place where we felt really comfortable with the numbers that we were looking at and why we were looking at those very particular numbers. And of course, over those 2 years, those numbers have changed for us, depending on, you know, hey, we thought this was a really key part of our sales process. Turns out, not so much. You know, we can adapt to that because we were so much into believing that we've got the sales process figured out now. So that would be my advice, is start somewhere. Start with one piece of it. Start with your CRM. If you don't have a CRM, maybe start looking for a CRM unless you're really, really good with Excel, and start playing with some of those. You'll find the trends. If you look at it for a while, you'll find some of those success trends that are in those data points.
That's great advice. I think, you know, finding somebody like you talked about, who's curious and inquisitive and numbers driven, and maybe somebody who already has a decent understanding of the sales process, I would think would be helpful. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing too, I think that's important that you mentioned, is just the time that it took you total to kind of get to a good place with the system set up. But also, I think it's allocating the time to that individual so that they have the bandwidth and the freedom to dig into the data and develop some of these tools, because I know that can be a very time consuming thing to parse through all that data and figure out a system and everything else.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you have the resources to be able to have somebody exclusively do that, it's going to make it go quicker. If you have to kind of part and parcel it together a little bit, it will take a little bit longer. And that's okay. As long as you're starting somewhere and beginning that process and beginning to understand that data and what it can mean for you, you'll see those returns quicker than you would think you would.
Yeah, that's awesome. Cool. Any parting thoughts for the audience, Brandon? Any other tips of wisdom or anything that we didn't cover on today's conversation you were hoping to get in?
Well, the only other thing I could think of on this is, never fear to fail on numbers either. You may think you've got a great idea on the numbers, a great KPI you want to start tracking it. If it turns out that it didn't do anything, but you've got a better understanding of what those success pieces are. My last parting thought is again, I'm going to circle back to it. The numbers aren't there to either shame or hooray us either. It's to outline what is going right, what can we work on, what can we tweak, because there's 1,000 ways we can do this and be successful. So don't hang your head down because your inquiry to tour rate dropped 2% in the third quarter, all right? It's not the end of the universe. You probably made up for it with some other KPI too. So as long as you keep that in mind, you'll be fine and dandy.
Yeah, I think having those honest conversations are really important. Just they are what they are. It's not that, you know, it's not to shame anybody or anything like that. And one other question I have for you, Brandon, this just came to mind. How often are you reviewing your sales dashboards? Is this a daily activity? How often do you meet with the team and kind of go through these numbers as well?
We bring it to our sales directors 3 times a month. We review it with them. We do a complete look at the sales process and look at all the KPIs every single month for us, right at the beginning of the month. So what we do then is we take all of those KPIs and we put them through some pretty interesting mathematical equations to kind of come up with meaningful, smart expectations as well for each other. So we're not throwing the dart at the dartboard and hoping what we do works. We've got a good understanding from the mathematical point of view and from the KPI point of view, what we need to do month in and month out to be extremely successful.
Cool. Yeah, that's a good, I think it's a good frequency to have folks paying attention. You're not overwhelming them, but it is on a regular basis. And so that's helpful. Sorry, I didn't mean, you probably thought you were off the hook there. I threw one curveball at you, but that was just something that came to mind. Well, listen, Brandon, I really appreciate you being on the show today. This was super, super helpful information. And I'll be curious to hear what listeners think, what questions we get back, because I think that you've given a lot of good ideas, and I'll definitely forward any of those questions your way, but really appreciate you being on the show. This was great.
Well, thanks. Thanks for having me. It's been a great, love getting together and talking numbers with anybody that'll listen to me. So,
yeah. Well, thanks again, Brandon. So that was Brandon Christensen. He is the regional sales and marketing manager for Primrose Retirement Communities. My name is Winston. You've been listening to the Senior Care Growth Show, where senior care sales and marketing professionals come to grow. For more sales and marketing collateral and other resources, visit our website, at www.seniorcaregrowth.com. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.